Hello, hello. Yes.
Good morning. This is the Clark County Board of Equalization hearing for February 6, 2025. The county clerk has informed us that this meeting has been posted and properly noticed. At this time, can we please call the roll?
Terry Farr.
Present.
Petra Latch.
Here.
Kristen Lowe.
Here.
Suzette Wheeler.
Here.
Tammy Campa.
Thank you. I motion to adopt the addenda. Please cast your votes.
Chair, we're having technical issues, so if you want to cast a voice vote, that is fine.
Okay, we'll do it orally. I vote aye.
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 That motion passes. This time we're going to open the microphone for a public comment. Seeing none, I'll close the microphone. At this time, we need to swear in the petitioners. Anyone who intends to testify on behalf of the petitioners and members of the assessor's office, please stand and face the county clerk to be sworn in.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give during the course of this hearing is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God?
Thank you. Now we have a statement from the District Attorney's Office on what the Board of Equalization is and is not allowed to do.
The County Board of Equalization may determine the value of any property the county assessor assesses and may change and correct any valuation found to be incorrect to make it conform to the taxable value of the property. Any taxpayer who claims overvaluation of its real or secured personal property by reason of undervaluation or non-assessment of another taxpayer's property within any county of the state may appeal to the County Board of Equalization in the county where the property is located concerning the assessed value and present evidence. If the County Board of Equalization finds merit in the complaint, it shall increase the value of the property complained of to conform to its taxable value. A taxpayer who believes that his or her property was assessed at a higher value than another property, identical in use and comparable in location, may appeal the assessment to the County Board of Equalization. If the board finds that an inequity exists in the assessment of the value of the land or improvements or both, the board may add to or deduct from the value of the appellant's land or improvements or both, or to the property to which it is compared to equalize the assessment. A taxpayer who believes that the full cash value of his or her property is less than its taxable value computed for the current assessment year may appeal to the County Board of Equalization. If the board agrees, it may correct the land value or fix a percentage of obsolescence to be deducted from the taxable value of improvements, or both, to equalize the taxable and full cash value. A public officer cannot act on a matter that would reasonably be affected by the public officer's commitment in a private capacity without disclosing information in public to the chair and other members of this body. In addition, a public officer shall not vote upon or advocate the passage or failure of a matter with respect to which the independence of judgment of a reasonable person in the public officer's situation would be materially affected by the officer's acceptance of a gift or loan, the officer's significant pecuniary interest, or the officer's commitment in a private capacity to the interests of another person.
Thank you. Now we're on to discussion and possible action on the 2024, 2025, and 2025, 2026 assessor recommendations. Ms. Widener?
Yes, Chairman Farr. You will find the assessor recommendations located on page 11 of your agenda. They'll be getting there and to page 20.
That's pages 11 through 20?
That is correct.
A motion to accept the assessor's recommendations on pages 11 through 20. Please cast your votes. That motion passes. On to minutes from February 5th, 8th, 14th, 22nd, 26th, and 28th, 2024 Board of Equalization meetings. I motion to approve those minutes. Can I have a second?
I have a second.
Please cast your votes. That motion passes. Any discussion or actions on notices of appearance?
Yes, Chairman Farr. Mary Ann Widener, Secretary to the Board with the Assessor's Office. If you will turn to page 2754, that begins case 667. We have one, two, three, four, five cases that are for notice of appearance today. Just to refresh the board's memory, notices of appearance are a time where you have to make a decision whether you're going to take jurisdiction over these cases. They're either an untimely filing, a filing that where a taxpayer is trying to file for a back year, which is not permitted by law, or it could be the fact that an agent has not provided proper authorization. And so I'm going to go through each of these individually, and I don't want to belabor it too much, but I do want to at least reference some of the information. So what I'd like to do is on page 2754, that begins case 667. And in this instance, you will see the appeal form. Let me get to that page. It's actually in master book number 2. Is everyone there?
Yep.
Okay. This appeal was filed timely. You will see the appeal form on page 2755, and you will see on the second page of that appeal form, it was signed by a Randy York with Connor O'Connor and Associates. And you will see that there was no letter of authorization that was provided. Following that, you will see an email that we did send to the tax agent on the 16th of January, letting them know of the deadlines, along with a letter that says that proper authorization must be filed within 48 hours of the deadline. The deadline for filing an appeal is January 15th every year, except for when there's a holiday or a weekend. In this case, January 15th fell on a regular business day. And so the 17th was the deadline for filing a letter of authorization, and we did not receive one from this tax agent. The NRS that references that is 361.362 and NRS 361.334 that talks about proper authorization being noticed or given to us within the 48-hour window. I do want to just take a little bit of time to show you that I have included the statutes following this. They're in each of the cases that talk about who can file an appeal, what the provisions are for filing the appeal, the timelines for filing an appeal, everything there within NRS and the administrative code, just so you, that you know that are, those are a part of the record. Also, with regards to the timely filing and the notice of that, we do send out notice of value cards every year. I've included the notice of value card that shows the information of when the deadline for filing that is on page 2768 of this particular file that tells the deadline is January 15th. We also send out information when we send out the appeal forms that gives them a notice of what the deadline is for filing, and that's on page 2769. Following that, we also have information on our website, 2772, where it also references information on how taxes are calculated. And if you go down to page 2773, it talks about filing an appeal and the deadlines for filing an appeal. There's also another web page on our website, which I've shown on 2774, that also talks about the Board of Equalization and the deadlines for filing an appeal. And then on page 2775, it also talks about, that is actually the publication that we are required by law to put into the newspaper every year. Which is to give notice to all taxpayers that the assessment roll is available to view and that the deadline for filing the appeal is also highlighted in that information. And I just wanted to make sure that the board was aware that we did put all of those notices out, because one of the things we do get is, how are we supposed to know? How do we know about this? We try to take every method possible to let people know. I will also let you know that one of the things that we've been proactive about in the past few years is any agent that has filed with our office in the past, we send out an agent email blast to let them know this is the deadlines for filing. Here's the form that you can use for filing to make sure you have proper authorization. If they're new to our state, clearly they don't get that. But this company has filed in the past, though I do not believe that this particular agent has filed in our state before. But with all that, I did have a conversation with her, and she did understand the situation, but she still wanted the appeals to go forward. So with all this information, we're asking, because there was no proper authorization filed, that you would not accept jurisdiction. Thank you.
Do we have a list of those cases or just anything with an NOA?
The two that are like that is 667 and 670. So you could take them. They're the same situation. It would be the same testimony on both.
All right. I motion that we deny jurisdiction on cases 667 and 670 based on the testimony contained previously. Please cast your votes. Or do we need a second on that?
I'll second.
Okay. Please cast your votes. And that motion passes. Okay, on to procedural rules.
We still have some additional NOAs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were done there.
Okay, case 671 would be the next one. It begins on case page 2807 of the second master book. In this instance, we have our appeal form, and you'll see the second page of the appeal form, again, signed by Randy York with O'Connor and Associates. And in this instance, they did provide a letter of authorization, but the problem with this letter of authorization is it is for the wrong fiscal year. And the regulations are very clear that the, which I will reference here in a moment, that you must include the proper fiscal year, and you must not just include the owner's name, but you also have to include either an address or a parcel number, something that identifies what they're giving the authorization to. But in this instance, on page 2810, you will see the letter is actually dated January 1st of 2024. It clearly states in the first paragraph that this is for tax matters for the tax year of 24-25. This current year that you're actually reviewing is the 25-26 fiscal year. If there was a case that was a supplemental case for the 24-25 fiscal year, then you would potentially have the authority to view that one, but this case is not that situation. It is a 25-26 case, and so based on that, we're asking that you do not take jurisdiction. If I can reference the... It's in Administrative Code NRS 361.6896, this is included in the materials, but it's Section 2. It says, a written authorization from the owner of a property that authorizes a person to file an appeal with the State Board on behalf of the owner of the property must identify the property, fiscal year, and type of assessment role to which the authorization applies. A person may not file an appeal with the State Board on behalf of the owner of a property of personal property, of any property, fiscal year, or type of assessment that is not identified in the written authorization. There is also another administrative code that says the rules that apply to the State Board also apply to the County Board. And so in this instance, they did not do the proper authorization because they did not identify the proper years. Thank you.
Based on the information provided in testimony, I'm going to motion that we deny jurisdiction on case 671. Do I have a second?
I second.
Please cast your votes. That motion passes.
Chairman Farr, case 676 is exactly the same scenario. I should have mentioned that earlier. On page 2845, of that case in the second book, you will see the same letter of authorization for this particular case where it has the tax year 24-25. They have not identified the 25-26 tax year. And so based on that, we're asking that you do not take jurisdiction.
Based on the information provided and testimony contained, a motion that we deny jurisdiction on case 676.
Second.
Please cast your votes. That motion passes.
Thank you, Chairman Farr. Case 734 is a little bit different. The board has not heard an NOAA case like this in a little while. The scenario here is this gentleman had the opportunity to appeal for the 23-24 year, for the 24-25 year, and of course this year for the 25-26 year. He did appeal for the 25-26 year, and you will find this case on page 2893 of the second book. We have set up the 25-26 appeal. It is case 90. It will be heard on a different day. But this particular case we set up because he wanted to appeal the back years. He is not here today. You will see in his material that he told us that he would not be available to be at this hearing today because he is out of the country, though he will be back for his case 90. The reason he believes that he has the opportunity to file for those back year appeals is because we reopened those years to do a factual error change to the record. And so I want to try to explain how that works with the board. NRS 361-765 and NRS 361-768 are two provisions that enable our office to reopen a back year for specific reasons. And those reasons are for a clerical error or a factual error. So we are not permitted to reopen a roll and change values. Once a roll is closed, it's certified, it's done, until it comes before a Board of Equalization. So it must come before you or the State Board for any changes to be made. And for us to be able to do a back year appeal, it would have to be a valid year for a back year appeal for us to be able to do that. The exceptions to that are when something is escaping taxation, where for whatever reason we missed it, and there's literally been a building in place or a house in place. There are provisions for that, and that is in NRS 361.769. Which is actually referenced right on the appeal form for escaping taxation. And in those instances, we open a back year, we bring those values before you. The appellant at that time can appeal those values because they never got a chance to get those values, and so they have a right to do that. In the instance here, when we're doing these types of corrections, we only do corrections to the record where we are going to lower the taxpayer's property value. We are not raising their value. We are not taxing them with additional taxes. It's a situation where they will get a reduction in taxes at best. And so in this scenario, the gentleman that did file this appeal could have at any time during the 23-24 year or the 24-25 year appealed his value, and we would have addressed all of his concerns at that moment in time. He did not do that. He did receive tax bills in 23-24. He did receive tax bills in 24-25. And now this year, he's chosen to file an appeal, but he wants to file it based on back years because now he's identifying things that we need to correct. We are addressing all of his concerns and correcting all of the things that he's concerned about that we are able to do by law. But that does not give him now... it does not now reopen him to be able to file a full appeal in the back year. There are no provisions in 765 or 768 when you're doing a reduction in a value in a back year for these provisions for them to now, it now opens it up for reappeal. And so I know this is something the board's not familiar with, but I did want to at least provide you that information. And so based on that, we're asking that you not take jurisdiction because it is too late for him to file for those years. He's not here to bring forth his testimony, but I did want to let you know that his information is here. You can certainly look at it. He also asked us to include some additional information in the addendum book. It begins on page 15. Some of this is valuation related, and he asked us to include it in both the case 90 and this one, but there are some points that he has made If the board wants to ask me any questions about any of those points that he has made, I'm happy to answer questions about that. One of the things he's primarily referenced is he's referencing a case, which is a Supreme Court case that's the BARDA case that went to the Nevada Supreme Court that has to do with the Village League and a case that was filed in Washoe County. And he was pointing to that case saying, well, they changed back your values in that instance. The Supreme Court opened a back here and changed the values. The premise for that was completely different than this. There was things that the Supreme Court found that were unconstitutional that Washoe County had done. And in both the Basque case and the BARDA case, appeals were filed at the proper time for these to happen. But these cases went over, I think, a 15-year period, 17-year period, where they were back and forth. And so it appeared like they were opening up a back year, and really what they were doing is adjusting the values for a year that had been appealed originally. It just took that long for it to go back and forth from the courts. I'm not sure if Sarah, your DA, might have some more comments about that or wants to give you any direction on that, but I don't think it has any bearing on the fact that he wants to open a back year appeal for this particular case. And so I'm happy to answer any other questions you may have.
Any discussion from the board?
That was my only question, so thanks.
Any comments from the DA's office?
That would be a correct summary of the Basque and BARDA cases. In those situations, the appeals were filed timely, so they were able to go back and do back years. And in this situation, the appeal was not timely.
Thank you. Based on the information provided, as well as the testimony, I motion that we deny jurisdiction on case 734.
Second. And can I ask, is he's not asking for anything for this current tax year?
We do have a case 90, that will be heard on a different day, and we have addressed all of his concerns. I'm sure he will probably try to bring more information forward at that time. I may be restating some of the things that I've stated today when it comes to that case, but that case will be very specifically for the 25-26 year.
Thank you.
And that motion passes. Any more NOAs?
That will be it for the NOAs. We can move on to the next agenda item.
Great, now we can do the procedural rules relative to presenting appeals. This hearing is recorded and part of the public record. It is difficult to transcribe the hearings with concurrent multiple voices. Please do not speak if another party has the floor. If you have the floor, please speak directly into the microphone. Please note that we do not discuss property taxes in these hearings. Your net property taxes may not be affected by the outcome of your case. The procedural rules relative to presenting appeals are as follows. When we call your name or call your case, please come up to the podium, state your name and address into the microphone for the record. The assessor will briefly describe the property to the board. You will then present evidence for your case. The assessor's office will provide their evidence to support the assessor's opinion of the taxable value. You may then respond to the assessor's case, but you are limited to the rebuttal of evidence presented by the assessor. Please keep comments limited specifically to your case. Please do not address the assessor's staff. The board will ask questions of the petitioner or the assessor's staff. The board will discuss the testimony and information provided and move forward with the decision. If you or the assessor's office are unhappy with the board's decision, both parties have the right to appeal with the State Board of Equalization. Appeal forms are in the hallway outside the doors to the chamber. Do we have any administrative business?
Nothing at this time. I don't believe we have any additional withdrawals. No additional withdrawals or stipulations at this time.
Okay, let's get started with case number 61, Ticken LLC. So glad you stayed. You can do it on the record.
I'm going to have to recuse myself, and I'm going to go back.
Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Campa. Please introduce your case.
Good morning, board members. Good morning, DA. Troy Campa for the Clark County Assessor's Office. Case 61 begins on page 562 of the master book. The subject is a strip retail center consisting of three buildings, total of 30,766 square feet. It is located in the Northeast submarket at the southwest corner of Owens Avenue and Sand Hill Road. The information that Mr. Rader will likely speak about begins on page 566. He also sent me an email where he talks about several sales and listings, and those can be referenced in the addenda book on page 6. The assessor is recommending no change to the taxable value, $4,104,116.
Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Hello, Eric Reiter, Four Caves Valley Court, Henderson, Nevada, 89052.
Thank you. What do you have to share with us?
Oh, okay. So first thing, good morning. Thank you for listening to me and taking the time. I appreciate the procedure and the opportunity. Basically, I didn't brought new information. The information that I present in this case is the same information. I brought copy to you guys to show last 6 months' sales that show less value for other property that sold, I think, the comparable. And plus, I don't know how many. And then just a note, like, I just got the case, and I think, like, in it should be, like, we should have opportunity to see the other comp that the appraiser bring before today, because then we have time to prepare and say, I think, looking on the case, basically, that I think the main item is looking on the sales comp that the appraiser brought. The big thing is the year of sale. If you're looking on all the cases that he brought, Las Vegas Boulevard, Eastern, I don't know what page it's showing in your thing. I'm looking in 579. So if you're looking on the sale date of the property are 2021 and 2020. The big thing about the sales date, they are outdated. And I think it's not just outdated, meaning like the years are past. I think the environment, the economic environment changed. Again, I just saw it like 10 minutes ago. So that's why I didn't print this page, but that's the interest rate change between 21 to today. So today we are in 7% interest rate. In 21, 22, by this graph, we are in 2.5%, 3% interest rate. The value of the property didn't go up, it's go down. So when we take in comp that the appraiser showing from 21, 22, and compare it to 25, we're not in the same environment. It's not fair comparable to bring. The comp that I brought, there are sales of the last 6 months. I think it's more of valid than old sales that don't have valid.
So the three sales that you provided in that email, Is that, that's what you're looking for us to consider?
Right. And I brought the three sale, and I brought another two property for sale right now that, you know, basically the same prices that I think it's a fair prices for our property. And again, the property that I brought for sale, they are on the market. It's like a fair sales price. It's under LoopNet. And again, that's asking price before negotiation. So I assume you probably can negotiate and get it lower, but let's say that you're buying it as this value, asking price, it's still showing that the value of $3 million for the center or 3 point something million, it's a fair price compared to $4.2 million. Again, I'm doing this for 25 years in town. I built this center. I never been in front of this board ever because, again, usually the prices are pretty much reflecting like a property value. In this case, the value that the county gave, it's about $1 million over the value of the property.
Okay. Mr. Campa.
Please refer to the cap summary chart on page 575 of the master book. While you're looking that up, I'd like to take a moment just to address the sales and the information that Mr. Raiders presented. All he supplied to me was a rent roll and this letter and a membership agreement where he bought out two family members for $1 million each, and he told me that that $3 million represents market value. He's a broker. I asked him what he based that on, if he could please supply me with an appraisal or something that would show what that was, but he wouldn't. He said he had it listed. I've never found a listing for it, but he said he had it listed for $5 million. And then he dropped it to $4.5 million, and then he bought his family members out for the equivalent of $3 million. That's less than $100 a square foot, and I don't believe that's market value. He did send some sales in, and I'll just briefly go over those. So he sent a 16 Pacific that's located off of Water Street. I guess it's east. It's a 68-year-old building that has restaurants on the bottom and an office on the top. It's not a comparable to his strip center. 3411 East Charleston, that's a partial interest, 12% partial interest transfer for $125,000. The Pecos comparable, it's the sale of a portion of a center that contained 86,000 square feet. It's at Pecos and Russell. He presented two listings. The first listing is Maryland Parkman. If you guys have lived here a long time, you'll know this building. It's right across the street from the Boulevard Mall on the corner of Maryland Park, A&DI, and it's the one where there's not enough parking, so they put in the on top of the center parking where you drive up and park on top. It's not a comparable. And then his D Street listing, it's constructed in 1953. It's at Owens and H Street. It's 4,000 square feet. It's zoned R4, has four parking spaces, and is occupied by a restaurant. So again, a rent roll was provided, and that may be referenced on page 573. No income or expense history was provided, although it was asked for. I began asking him for information in mid-December. So I did look at his rent roll, and then for the rest of it, I looked to the market for information. The subject's rent ranges from 78 cents a square foot to $2.20 a square foot at a weighted average of $1.24 a square foot. A comparable rental chart may be referenced on page 576, which is the chart I presented. The rentals of comparable centers showed a rent range of $1.20 to $1.45. Collier's fourth quarter 2024 market survey for this submarket showed strip center rents of $1.60. Cushman Wakefield showed $1.48. I used the actual rent rate that he had provided of $1.25. The other income is from things he had in the parking lot, and that's straight off of the rent roll as well. Collier's indicated vacancy for strip centers in the Northeast submarket, 4.5%. Cushman was at 5%. According to the information he supplied, there was one unit vacant at the subject, which by square footage would be 14% vacancy on that day. I used a vacancy of 10%. I'm assuming triple net leases, but it's an older center. I allotted 15% for anything that might not be billed back or reserves. For cap rates, the Colliers indicated 6.6% for the subject submarket. CoStar had a range of sales from 6.3 to 7.1%. There is a sales chart that I provided on page 579. Two of those reported cap rates from 6.2 to 7.6. I used a rate of 8%. I did want to talk then about the sales comparison chart. So I chose these sales because the subject is located on Owens. I looked for sales that really were apples to apples. There aren't newer sales out there, but they're on Charleston, they're on Flamingo, they're on roadways with, you know, three times the traffic count, and they're higher. These are ones, if I were buying the center, these are the ones that I would look for because this is going to have the same tenant mix that you sort of get at these other centers that are sort of more off of the main roadways. I don't see where prices have gone down on these types of centers. What I'm looking at, they've gone up. The income supports taxable value. Sales comparison, he has a taxable value of $133 a square foot. At the sales comparables, they ranged from $121 to $175 with an average of $162, which supports the taxable value of the subject. On that chart, sale two is a 2022 sale. And it says 00, but it's a 2022 sale. Based on this analysis, the assessor's office recommends holding taxable value of $4,104,116.
Mr. Rader, do you have any rebuttal?
Yes, I do. In page number 2 and 3 that I supply you, there is operating statement and lease, like what unit lease and what prices. We are in about 216,000 net profit on the cash flow on the center. So even if you're going by income approach that he present, and you're going to the numbers that the other sales that he show in 2021, again, 22.2, I oppose to the sales again because, again, interest rate environment was different, but let's say even we agree, if you're looking on the cap rate that was sale, it was 6 or 7%, 6.5% to 7% cap rate. So if you calculate cap rate on 4.1 compared to the 216,000 price, okay, we are in 5% cap rate on 4.2 million. So if you're taking 4.2 million and you're doing 216, we are in 5% cap rate. The sales are in 6 and 7. If you adjust it to 6 and 7, you're getting to 3.1, 3.2 million. So even by cost approach and not by sales comp, This scenario, it's not working. The property, it's not worth 4.2 million. It makes sense?
Well, based on, I'll be honest, I'm looking at your operating statement that you provided. There's certain things that you have included there that would not be factored into a traditional pro forma in doing the direct capitalization for to estimate your NOI, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, you've got cleanup at $12,000, that's $1,000 a month. You've got graffiti removal at $450 a month.
And again, just to make sure you guys know where the property is sitting, we're sitting in Owens and Sand Hill. I don't know if you look on the aerial view, there is a wash behind our property. Under the wash, under the bridge of Owens, there is homeless living. We're dealing with homeless problem all the time over there. We have a crew like every day that coming and cleaning, you know, leftover of homeless, you know, living in the center. We have this year, we have 2 times backflow got broken and stolen. We have almost every week or every month, we have a door or fire riser room that broken and we need to replace locks. We have graffiti, constant graffiti. You can look on the record of even the city. Once in a few months, we're getting a code violation for graffiti that someone did graffiti, and before we have time to paint it, we're getting code violation, but we're addressing all this issue. So it's not your typical center, you know, like in a great area that you don't have any other expense. Our maintenance expense there are super high.
Do you have any other discussion regarding the information the assessor provided?
No. So I think that, again, just to summarize the two things that I think, the comp sales that the county present, they are old, they are not update. And second thing, the interest rate environment, since when they presented to now, it was 2.5% to 3%, now we're in 7% interest rate, so the property worth less, not more. Second thing, by cost approach, on the value that you guys putting on the center, it's 5%, and you know when it should be 6.5% to 7%. But again, thank you for hearing me.
Which rate are you referring to, 6.5% or 7%?
If you're looking on the sales that he put as a comp, and you're looking for what cap rate this center was sold, you see that the center sold for 6.5% to 7% cap rate. So if we're going by cost approach and we're looking for what center he present, right, the county present, and they say, okay, the sale was by 6.5% to 7% cap rate, and we're doing the numbers that we have 200 and something, and you're doing by 7%, the value should be 3.2 and not 4.2. On 4.2, it's 5%.
Members of the board?
Well, so if I'm looking at your, and I appreciate you providing this information. If I'm looking at your operating expense statement correctly, you are collecting about 52 cents a square foot per month on a net basis. These are modified gross leases. You're not getting reimbursed for any
right.
CAMs.
No. I brought, there's a, in the second page here, there is like all the rent roll. So you see how much square foot and how much we charge the tenant.
Right.
I mean, these are small spaces. So we don't have any big box spaces.
Right.
So.
We don't have any big box. We
you
don't have 7-Eleven. We don't have Starbucks. We have like mom and pop business
right.
that most of them been there 15 years or 10 years. And we have 20% vacancy right now.
You have how much?
20%.
And the one space you have vacant is the one large space?
Yeah, we have one large space that's 4,200 square foot. It used to be a beauty, not beauty, a wedding hall or a meeting place.
Banquet hall.
Yes,
right.
And we have another space that used to be an electronic shop, and it's vacant too.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 1,600 square foot and just got vacant.
So, I mean, I'm looking at your expenses, and I actually think that they're probably about right. I'm in the process of doing a project that also deals with a lot of security issues, vandalism issues, and graffiti issues, and it's a significant expense. And so the challenge is, can you get enough rent to pay for all of this? I can appreciate the situation that you have there. 52 cents is really low, though. I mean, I don't know of any spaces that rent that low. I mean, I've got big box spaces that are in bad locations that are 80 cents a square foot.
I don't think we are in 52.
Well, so your rental income is $395,189.40 yearly. And if I divide that by your...
No, if you're looking, we have about 30,000 square foot, and we're collecting about 32,000 a month.
Okay,
so we are in about dollar...
Let me go back over this. So you're 30,000...
In the second page.
Hang on a second. Did I do something wrong? Let me check it. So that's 1284 square foot a month. So you're about $1.07 a cent modified gross.
Yeah,
so if I take off 40, expense. If I take off 48 cents, you're 59 cents a square foot. So you're renting your spaces for almost what your CAMs are. And I can appreciate the CAMs. The rents are very low.
I wish I could rent it for more. We're asking now on the empty space. It's in the market. We're asking $125. And it's not rented.
Yeah.
It's a tough area to rent.
It is a tough area. I mean, I guess, Troy, what I would ask you is, and I don't think there's a big amount of wiggle room here, but possibly a rental rate of $125, maybe a little optimistic for something like this on a net basis. Have you guys experienced?
On a triple net basis?
On a triple net basis. I would say probably a dollar.
Are you collecting, I apologize for interrupting, are you collecting anything else above the rent for expenses?
No, we try a few years ago to collect CAM charges. People can't afford it.
Okay.
No.
There's not enough traffic there. Again, it's small businesses. It's a mom and pop. If you're looking on some of the rented, on the rent here, we didn't increase it for years. The only one that we're able to increase is the market, because they have some gaming machine and they're selling alcohol.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I mean, this is one where, and I can appreciate what you've got going on here, because you're looking at people's asking rents. If I just do like a recast, I take a dollar a square foot, I add in your expenses as CAMs, and then I take out 10%, take out your expenses, and cap it at 7.5, I'm still at 4.1. So, you know, we can go up and go down. I mean, I guess I'm a little at a loss for how to reconcile a triple net rent of 59 cents a square foot. I've appraised some pretty rough retail spaces in the last year, and I don't have any of them that low. So, and I can't speak to what's going on or how active or how long these tenants have been there or how hard you tried to push rents. I'm not suggesting that you're not managing this properly. I can appreciate, I've seen your name on properties, so I know that you have experience. But that just seems really, really low.
But again, that's why I'm here, because again, it's a different center for any other center. I have other centers in different places. I'm not here and try to negotiate, you know, reducing property tax or value, you know, because again, you can do better in other places.
Right. You're suggesting like a $97 square foot value, which is almost shell.
But you're getting close to land value at this point. Stuff in the market, like he presented Maryland, and he say, oh, it's not comp sale, or it's not, it is, it's actually better location. Like
right,
Maryland across the boulevard.
Do they have box space though, or? I'm not familiar with it.
I didn't try to buy it, so I don't know, you know, how good this center or not, but it's for sale.
So on the fly, please appreciate that without us actually like knowing about the property, looking, understanding it, I don't know if it's truly comparable. I'm in the process of doing something like this, and the minute you get a center that has any kind of a box space, it completely skews down the rent and the NOI and everything. So I don't know.
But again, I brought another center over there that consider as a comp, and I think that shouldn't be ignored, like the one on Water Street. Again, Water Street, better location than Owens and Sand Hill. Not everybody like it, but if you've been there in the weekend lately, you know, because they build condos over there, there is a lot of activity, a lot of new places, a lot of bars. I actually think this place has a good potential for growth. But again, it's like there is sales that was in lower prices, the sales that the county brought, it's old sale, when the interest rate was different. You know, I think my camp are better than what the county, with all due respect, you know. And again, the numbers talking from the self, you know, on the numbers that 4.1, we are in 5%.
Right. Looking at your Maryland sale, that 4.2, 116 a foot, they're indicating a 5.04 cap rate, but they also show 63% lease. So the only way that they're going to get that 5% cap rate is based on actual income.
Right.
You with me on that?
Yes.
Okay. So if I use that 5.04 cap rate on your actual income, I come into a value of $4,293,789, call it $4.3 million, right? And where are we at, Mr. Campo?
We're at 4.1.
So, and you understand that the justification for using such a low cap rate is that there's minimal risk to those cash flows at that occupancy rate. Make sense?
Nice.
Okay. And they are less leased, which would imply even less risk, but giving the benefit of the doubt, I don't think the assessor's not justified at this point, but I've more than willing to listen to other opinions from the board.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that that to his point, that building is 63% occupied. It has more vacancy than your property, so it's not completely comparable. And we can, you know, go back and forth about what the rental rate should be. 60 cents a square foot triple net just doesn't, I don't think it rings for any of us here. And I can appreciate what's going on. But from a market perspective, and then we go back to replacement costs and under $100 a square foot. I don't know that I've seen an actual sale of an occupied functioning retail center, regardless of where it is, that is under $100 a square foot, unless they're just getting rid of it for redevelopment. You know, so I just, even if I recast it, I'm at like 4.1 million. So I have to say that I don't find 133 to be outrageous for this size and for its occupancy. I do appreciate what you're saying, I really do, but you know, from real market data, what I see here when I look at market data is rents that are really below market across the board. I don't know of anybody renting space that low unless it's inferior space in the back of a 100, 200,000 square foot center where nobody sees it. I've seen that, but I mean, that's about it.
Yeah, I've seen that like management office or something.
Exactly, that, or that weird little L-shaped that space that no one can get, that's always perpetually vacant.
Suzette?
I agree.
Okay, entertain a motion. To the right page. All right, I make a motion that based on the information provided and testimony contained herein, that the assessor's total taxable value of 4.104116 does not exceed taxable value. Do I need a second on that? I don't think, okay, we need a second.
Second.
All right, please cast your votes. That motion passes, sir. You do have the right to appeal to the state. The forms are outside the door.
Thank you.
I would say, can I just add, I would say if you're gonna do that, really get some rents. Get what you need to look at more is the rents, the comparable rents to support this. I don't think you're going to find sales. I think Mr. Camp has probably done the best he's going to, there is out there to get sales. So the issue here is going to be the rents. That was for me.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Camper. That's all we have for cases today. Discussion and action on petitions for review of assessed valuation.
Yes, Chairman Farr, this is, we just need you to vote on all the cases that are shown on the agenda today that were not heard. And go ahead and
all
take
right.
a motion.
I motion to accept the assessor's recommendations on any cases where the petitioners did not attend this hearing and those that have been stamped, stipulated, or withdrawn. Please cast your votes. And that motion passes. Okay, now it's time for more public comment. Microphone is open for any public comment. Seeing that there's nobody here, I will close the microphone. Is there any other business, Ms. Widener? Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have something? Of course you do.
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
So the microphone is reopened for Mr. Relusik.
Hi. My name is Thomas Walusik. I'm standing here as a citizen of Clark County and also as a member of the appraisal division here. I need your help. I'm asking for your help. What I'm specifically asking for, and you don't need to decide today, by the 26th, please, I'd like you to develop a select subcommittee of a couple of members of this board, someone on the DA that would be a representative, possibly Mary Ann, as our some of our senior management, who knows the in workings and out workings of our systems and not a professional without equal. And possibly someone with a senior appraisal background. Pick me, pick me, pick me. Okay. I would like that committee to look into a couple of things that I consider egregious and have been gnawing at me for the last 4 years. We had a whole group of people here that wasted an astronomical amount of time for a couple of firms that have no intention of being here to hear their cases heard, and it's an astronomical amount of waste of our times. In my particular case, you can go to CBOE 1132. We have an appellant. They've appealed four times in a row. We're at 2.5 on the books. I can easily prove with both eyes closed, hands behind my back, standing on one foot, that's 4.7. It sold for 7.2. Well, okay, there's no law about being stupid, so I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem on the next column over, which says the owner's opinion of value was 1.5. If Paul Chaffee was here, I'd ask Paul, can you please call this guy up? Or the DA, can you call this guy up and say, he would? Can you certify, give me an affidavit that you would sell this property for 1.5 at one-third market value? He would laugh at you. Now, I'm going to use a term, it's a term of art for me because I'm not a legal person, but to me that's fraud. According to the Oxford Dictionary, person or thing intended to deceive others, typically or unjustifiably, claiming or being credited with accomplishments or qualities. So I'm not trying to be a lawyer here. I'm just saying I can smell this and it's wrong. Now, the problem with this is that not only is that wrong and it's wasting everybody's time, but the fact of the matter is that now, if that owner came back and said, you're nuts, I would never do that. Now they're acting as appraisers. That's a $10,000 fine per. We have hundreds of these cases. They should be fined in the millions. We need to get control of this. Now, I'm willing to sit down with everybody and work out what that could possibly be. We have to do this within the law, within the regulations. Hence Mary Ann's involvement along this line. But we need to get this done. I am asking for your help. Acidly candid. You have no obligation to do it. I'm asking as a professional and as a citizen of Clark County. Thank you.
Thank you. My only question there was, does that exceed the authority of this board?
Don't know. That's a DA question, and we'll find that out. I've been doing some reading on the state board because of some other cases and was quite shocked at the leeway that the boards have. But we can drill down on that. I'm happy to do that. That may be a one short meeting, but we'll get there.
Well, and this has been discussed in the past. I just don't know if any of us have the authority or power to enable that type of system. But I certainly empathize with you.
In this particular case, I'm just asking for a meeting.
I guess we'll see if we get an email after the fact.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Relusik.
You all have a great day.
Does anybody else have any public comment? Okay, I will close the microphone. Is there any other business, Ms. Wagner?
Yes, Chairman Farr, I just want to update you on the remaining cases. We have 338 cases that are remaining after today. Our next hearing is Monday, February 10th at 8 a.m. There are 25 cases for that day. It is a residential day. And February 12th, we have 134 cases left. The 13th, we only have 15 cases left. February 20th, we have 93. February 24th, we have 39. And February 26th, we have 32. We do have two other hearing dates that are open just for the chance that we might have to move some of these cases, but I will be notifying the board if there's any changes to that at the next hearing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time. We are adjourned.